When the water was boiling, he put a teaspoonful of the crystals into the water and stirred it. The coffee was delicious, and there were enough crystals to provide 6 cups. Then Alice put the crystals into the water before heating it over the fire, and found that it wasn't necessary to use the fire. The water boiled within 3 seconds after the crystals were placed into the cold water. After eating, they washed out the containers and replaced them in the grails. Burton strapped his grail onto his waist. He intended to explore, and he certainly wasn't going to leave the grail on the stone. Though it could do no one but himself any good, vicious people might take it just for the pleasure of seeing him starve. Burton started his language lessons with a little girl and Kaz, and Frigate got Logu to sit in on them. Frigate suggested that a universal language should be adopted because of the many, many languages and dialects, perhaps 50,000 to 60,000 that mankind had used in his several million years of existence, and which he was using along the river. That is, provided that all of mankind had been resurrected. After all he knew about was the few square miles he had seen. But it would be a good idea to start propagating Esperanto, the synthetic language invented by the Polish oculist Dr. Zamenhof in 1887. Its grammar was very simple and absolutely regular, and its sound combinations, though not as easy for everybody to pronounce as claimed, were still relatively easy. And the basis of the vocabulary was Latin, with many words from English and German and other West European languages. "I had heard about it before I died," Burton said, "but I never saw any samples of it. Perhaps it may become useful, but in the meantime, I'll teach these two English." "But most of the people here speak Italian or Slovenian," Frigate said. "That may be true, though we haven't any survey as yet. However, I don't intend to stay here, you can be sure of that." "I could have predicted that," Frigate muttered. "You always did get restless. You had to move on." Burton glared at Frigate, and then started the lessons. For about 15 minutes he drilled them in the identification and pronunciation of 19 nouns and a few verbs: fire, bamboo, grail, man, woman, girl, hand, feet, eye, teeth, eat, walk, run, talk, danger, I, you, they, us. He intended that he should learn as much from them as they from him. In time, he would be able to speak their tongues, whatever they were. The sun cleared the top of the eastern range. The air became warmer, and they let the fire die. They were well into the second day of resurrection, and they knew almost nothing about this world or what their eventual fate was supposed to be or who was determining their fate. Lev Ruach stuck his big-nosed face through the grass and said, "May I join you?" Burton nodded, and Frigate said, "Sure, why not?" Ruach stepped out of the grass. A short, pale-skinned woman with great brown eyes and lovely, delicate features followed him. Ruach introduced her as Tanya Kawitz. He had met her last night, and they had stayed together since they had a number of things in common. She was of Russian-Jewish descent, was born in 1958 in the Bronx, New York City, had become an English schoolteacher, married a businessman who made $1 million, and dropped dead when she was 45, leaving her free to marry a wonderful man with whom she had been in love for 15 years. 6 months later, she was dead of cancer. Tanya, not Lev, gave this information, and in one sentence. "It was hell down on the plains last night," Lev said. "Tanya and I had to run for our lives into the woods, so I decided that I would find you and ask if we could stay with you. I apologize for my hasty remarks of yesterday, Mr. Burton. I think that my observations were valid, but the attitudes I was speaking of should be considered in the context of your other attitudes." "We'll go into that some other time," Burton said. "At the time I wrote that book, I was suffering from the vile and malicious lies of the moneylenders of Damascus, and they..." "Certainly, Mr. Burton," Ruach said. "As you say later, I just wanted to make the point that I consider you to be a very capable and strong person, and I would like to join your group. We are in a state of anarchy, if you can call anarchy a state, and many of us need protection." Burton didn't like to be interrupted. He scowled and said, "Please permit me to explain myself. I..." Frigate stood up and said, "Here come the others. Wonder where they've been." Only 4 of the original 9 had come back, however. Maria Tucci explained that they had wandered away together after chewing the gum and eventually ended up by one of the big bonfires on the plains. Then many things had happened. There had been fights and attacks by men on women, men on men, women on men, women on women, and even attacks on children. The group had split up in the chaos. She had met the other three only an hour ago while she was searching in the hills for the Grailstone.